The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
LinkedIn presents.
Hi, it's Friday, and this is The Next Big Idea Daily. I'm your host, Michael Kovnat. So how's your life going? Is it great? Or terrible? Or, like for many of us, is it just kind of meh? That kind of low-grade mental weariness seems to be especially common these days, and it can affect your self-esteem, relationships, and motivation. And it's described in detail in the new book, Languishing: How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down, by Corey Keyes. Corey is a professor emeritus of sociology at Emory University in Atlanta, and he spent decades studying and diagnosing the condition he calls languishing, and its opposite, which he calls flourishing. Here he is to share his key insights.
Languishing can be described as feeling meh or being blah. That might be true, but such descriptions don't do it justice. So let me give you a sampling of some of the 14 questions in my measurement tool to describe the condition of languishing. People, at least some of them, who are languishing don't feel they belong to a community. They don't feel they are making much of a contribution to the world. They don't like most parts of their personality. They don't have warm, trusting relationships. They aren't being challenged to become a better person. They're not confident most of the time to think and express their own ideas and opinions. They rarely feel their life has meaning or direction, and they don't feel happy or satisfied with their life. It's not one of those things. It's the whole combination of those things. You have to have, in other words, the absence of at least 7 out of the 14 signs of flourishing in order to be diagnosed as languishing. One of those signs has to be a deficit of feeling happy or satisfied with life. But the rest, at least 6, have to be a deficit in what I call functioning well. Things like purpose in life, a sense of belonging, a sense that you matter or are contributing things to the world, that you like most parts of your personality, that you can make sense of what's going on in the world around you, and so forth. So think of languishing as the following. It is the loss, or it's the situation where someone never had a lot of the good things in life that makes their life matter or makes their life meaningful. This is why people who languish sometimes describe themselves as dying inside or dead inside, because life has worn them down, taken their meaning, their mattering, and their purpose, and so forth. Problem is, if you stay there too long, languishing will put you at risk for a whole bunch of problems I talk about in the book, not the least of which is depression. Languishing is as important and as serious as mental illness. Yes, you've heard me correctly. I might go even as far to say that the presence and absence of good mental health, that is flourishing and languishing, are far more important than something as serious as clinical depression. What research has shown is that languishing makes you vulnerable, meaning it increases the risk of the following problems: suicide attempts, and suicidality. Suicidality means planning and giving serious thought to ending your life. Languishing also increases the risk in teenagers of self-harm. That is hitting themselves, cutting themselves, pulling hair. In other words, languishing is a condition where people don't feel much of anything. And as teenagers, when they feel that, they would harm themselves to feel something rather than feeling the torture of feeling nothing. Languishing also increases the risk of addictions like alcoholism. It increases the risk of depression, of anxiety, study during the pandemic showed that among frontline healthcare workers in Italy, those who were languishing were much more likely to come down with post-traumatic stress disorder. Languishing also increases the risk of relapse of mental illness, and that is sliding back into mental illness after having reached clinical recovery following treatment for your mental illness. And last but not least, we've shown languishing in middle-age and older adults increases the risk of premature death. And that is net of most known causes of death that are physical markers and risks of death, as well as net of any mental illness. Put it this way, we could prevent and reduce the amount of problems like depression and anxiety if we in the world take languishing and take good mental health far more seriously. So why would you wait to let something as valuable as your mental health break down when there is nothing society can do to fix it once you become another mental illness statistic? I know and write about my own story, how my depression, my PTSD and trauma guided my personal search and my intellectual research-based search for flourishing. And that's because there was nothing all the king's horses and all the king's men who have medications and treatments can do to put me back together again. So I believe we should be doing more to prevent. And we can prevent by promoting the very thing we want in our life, which is good mental health. Flourishing is so much more than happiness. I conducted a study to investigate how much young people prioritize each of the 14 signs of flourishing, asking them to rate how important each aspect was to them and for their lives. The feeling good stuff, like happiness and satisfaction, came in first place as most important to young people. The two aspects of functioning well, they came in last place. Things like purpose in life, acceptance of yourself, personal growth, positive relationships with others, feeling integrated into a community, making a contribution to society, being able to accept other people. Those are all the things that were rated far less important to young people than feeling happy. Here's why that matters. People who are flourishing, meaning they are functioning well in their life and feel good about it, have the lowest rates of mental illnesses like depression. But there is a sizable group of young people and, I suspect, adults and older adults who are flourishing when it comes to feeling good, meaning they feel happy or satisfied much of the time, but they're languishing when it comes to functioning well. That group that feels happy but isn't functioning well has over 5 times the rate of depression than the group that is flourishing. In other words, when happiness is not tethered to a life where you have purpose, belonging, acceptance, personal growth, and other aspects of functioning well, it is not a very healthy form of happiness. It is like eating Cheetos all the time. It feels good, but lacks any nutrition. A life that feels good, but has no meaning or mattering, lacks substance. The 5 vitamins that address a flourishing deficiency. These are 5 activities that you can do, and you can do as a family or a community to help address languishing. Because research has shown that people who do engage in more helping behaviors, learning something new, socializing, playing, and last but not least, spiritual or religious activities, are more likely to become or stay flourishing. Not only did flourishers do more of each of those 5 activities, and as a result, stayed flourishing, the good news is that people who were depressed or those who were languishing, who helped, played, learned, socialized, and engaged in spiritual or religious activities more, moved slowly but surely from languishing and closer to flourishing. I call them the 5 vitamins for flourishing. Do not be content to know why you are languishing. That is not enough. I want you to do as I did in my personal search for flourishing. And that is to dream of something that could be and ask yourself, why not me flourishing? Why not you?
Thank you, Corey. All right, listeners, I hope you've got some of those five activities planned for the weekend, activities that will help you go from languishing to flourishing. Let me know if we can help. You can subscribe to my newsletter using the link in the episode notes. I'll share highlights from each week's episodes, and you can let me know what you think. You can also find the newsletter by searching for The Next Big Idea on LinkedIn. This week's episodes were written by me, Michael Kovnat, and edited by Caleb Bissinger. The Next Big Idea Daily is part of the LinkedIn Podcast Network. See you Monday.